One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The following is a presentation of the Force Center podcast feed.
As Obi-Wan Kenobi once said, hello there, and welcome to Force Center presents Databank Dive. I'm Ken Namsok.
And I'm Joseph Scrimshaw, and like Ken just said, this show is Data Bank Dive. It is a fun little show where we talk about something weird, wild, generally fun in Star Wars.
It is. We want to let you know that if you enjoy the show today and you want more, we are having this ongoing series here in Force Center. We'd have kind of an original exclusive season on The Companion, a great sci-fi app for great articles, podcasts, a lot of specific shows they cover like Stargate, Far Cry, a lot of stuff like that. Check out the fine folks at The Companion, and the first bonus season of Databank Dive is up there. Joseph, are you ready for today's topic? I have the power today, the dark side power. Now, are you ready for what we're going to be talking about today, sir?
Yes, you selected a wonderful topic, and I cannot wait to dive into it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra.
Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Dodge it. Or dodge it indeed. Today, we are talking about boomas or a booma or an electrical ball or, as I called them for a while, bombas. I don't know how I got that in my head, but we are talking today about the weapon, one of the main weapons of the Gungans on Phantom Menace. Joseph, gut reaction to that topic.
Oh, I'm so excited. I can't hear the word booma without immediately hearing the sound. I think I am going to be losing it a little bit by the end of this, because I am just going to be constantly hearing that weird electrical bouncing sound throughout our entire discussion.
Mm-hmm. The boom, boom, boom. Love it. I love it. I love it. Let's get a description. Here's what we do on the show. We'll go into the StarWars.com data bank and see what they have to say there. Sometimes those descriptions are wild. Sometimes they're, underwhelming. And that's part of the journey. Then we'll head to Wikipedia for more. If we need their boomas, as it says on StarWars.com's data bank, were spherical grenade-type weapons colored pink and purple that were used exclusively by the Gungan Grand Army. Inside each energy ball was a plasma-like substance harvested deep inside the crust of Naboo's surface that would short out electronic equipment and droids, in addition to delivering great shock to organic beams. Ouchie. They came in various sizes and could be launched by hand, sling, or even catapult. There's a lot of information there, Joseph, about what's in a booma and what they're about.
What's in a booma? Yeah, as you said, this is why we love going to the StarWars.com data bank, because sometimes entries are written with a flair, and sometimes they are almost frighteningly emotionally distant and remote. Mm-hmm. This is a just the facts entry. It is weird to read something called,
grenade type weapons. It just, there's something about it that makes me laugh of somebody going like, hey, what's that over there? Oh, it's a grenade type weapon, you know, colored pink and purple. It's just, it's so factual. It's like, sorry to mix the streams here, but it's like Spock wrote this. The boomers are so wild and strange and fun and colorful. It's fun to see such a just the facts entry about boomers, the electrical grenade bombs.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and there's some questions that just popped in my head from this that I didn't even think about when I prepared this episode, so we'll dive into some stuff when we can. More from Wikipedia, not a ton. In fact, a lot of it's repeat information, but I love a little bit of the flavor that Wikipedia adds. They were manufactured by the Otagunga Defense League, which I'd love to know more about that. I think I want a Disney Plus series about some of their weekly meetings. They were manufactured by the Otagunga Defense League with the exotic plasma. So it's an exotic thing. That's good. These are collector's items that was naturally present in the porous crust of Naboo. They came in different sizes, as we said, but could be thrown by hand sling, atlatl, cesta, or flalumpazit.
Flalumpazit? Yeah,
how do you say that?
Falumpazet.
Wow, Oompa Loompa set. I love it. Which is the catapults there. A lot of, like my last name, a lot of consonants next to vowels sometimes that throw me. Boomas were used by the Gungan Army, notably during the Battle of Naboo. That's kind of a repeated point there, but interesting because I'm wondering where else they use them. So let's get into boomas. Joseph, how would we physically describe a booma inside and out?
Okay, if I was just trying to get like a human who was not as familiar with Star Wars to understand it, I would say, imagine it's a dodgeball that somehow contains the spirit of an electric eel. It is frighteningly electrified. It is definitely has a sense that it is organic, that it is of the earth. Now I know the facts that it's got exotic plasma all up in there.
Yeah, yeah.
But the whole vibe is, it's the space fantasy version of a dodgeball. It sounds like a dodgeball. The sound that it makes, I find kind of like joyful and silly and fun. And I can feel it on the side of my cheek from being hit in the face by a dodgeball specifically. This isn't like a normal, this isn't like a basketball or a baseball or any other like serious sports ball. This is you are in grade school in the gym kind of ball, you know?
Yeah, I know some friends of mine in LA who are like semi-pro dodgeball players, and it's serious. So I wonder if they play with boomas. You're making me think of this though, Joseph. Like, what is the speed at which the boomas need to be thrown at to activate them, so to speak? Like, if I was just a tossy one, like say Tarples to Binks, is that not enough speed to activate it? There's got to be the intention behind the throw. How do you envision them actually working?
Yeah, I think you need to put a little bit of weight into them. I mean, there's this shot where, they're thrown and Jar Jar, you know, tries to throw one and it wraps around his head. And you don't see it explode and shock him.
Right, right.
And when he's juggling the one that Tarples gives him and it flies back into the battle droid, he gets some air. So yeah. I think it would be the kind of thing that, like, if I were handling in real life, I would be deeply frightened that I'm going to look at it the wrong way and it's going to, the exotic plasma is going to explode and shock me. Yeah. But in reality, you got to chuck it hard.
You got to get some juice on it. Yeah, do not taunt Happy Fun Ball or the boomas because... But the Jar Jar thing scene comes to mind. Yeah, it's like, boop, boop. Oh, it hits the droid. So then I was thinking, like, does it react to the surface? So, organic, it doesn't react, but then it just says it gives the organics a little bit of a shock there. So I don't know. And then even the bigger ones, bopping and blopping down the hill, maybe I would have loved to seen one hit the ground and just splat after Jar Jar pulled down that cart. And maybe one did. Maybe you just don't see that.
Yeah, but like, yeah, you're right. And maybe they can sense when they hit droids and that makes them go off. Ken, did you play with Super Balls? Is that a regionalism?
Minnesota's own Super Balls? No, I played a little bit. I mean, I played a lot like dodgeball, handball stuff at school with the big red ones, which I love that sound.
Yeah.
But yeah, not Super Balls as much.
Yeah, I mean, the Super Bowls, I just had a sense of memory while we were talking about it. I didn't even think about it ahead of time of like, they're, if anybody's like, what are you talking about? Because I don't know if they're still popular, like, because people have like the internet. They don't have to just go outside and throw balls like we did. They're small, right? But they always were like colorful inside, and they would have, they're just little plastic bouncy balls, but then inside they would have like glitter frozen in them. And thinking about it now, like, that's really... That's really what they, like Super Balls, bouncy balls were like, they were the absolute, they were really fun to play, but they were definitely, no matter how you threw them, going to end up in the yard of the grumpiest person on the block.
just now me. Yeah, it's, now it's turning into a Data Bank dive on Super Bowl. Super Bowls were also used a lot in baseball in the 1970s to illegally alter bats. You drill the top of the bat out, and you put about six Super Bowls in there and reseal the top. This is major league players. Some of them would get in trouble when the bats would break, and Super Bowls would go flying out. So imagine those are boomers.
Yeah.
Hitting the shortstop.
Yeah. The other thing I want to be sure to say about their physical appearance is the official StarWars.com data bank. Look, I don't want to be challenging the official website, but it says colored pink and purple. They're blue, right? With other colors inside them, but they're primarily blue. Have I lost my mind?
This is the Boomer pink and purple or blue internet meme fight of they're blue in my head. And yet, you know, you're more trained in the arts. In the art of arts, so you might know color wheels better than me, but they're blue. In fact, I think at one point, I'm talking probably late into my life, I'd refer to them as blue balls, which is not what you want to be saying when you're talking about Star Wars. But I just thought that's what like Tarples was saying, like, you know, I just thought that's what he was saying.
Jar Jar, use your blue balls. I don't have one. Yeah.
Yes. Force Center After Dark. And I think at one point, like it was like an embarrassing point in my life where someone was like, you know, that's like boomers, right? I was like, I've never looked that up.
I never looked it up. You know, it is the comedy journey that I think maybe people go on. Maybe you'll relate to this, Ken. Maybe I'm unique of like when you're young and hungry, trying to get laughs, you want to go for the jugular and get a laugh, right? And like blue balls, great. That can get a laugh. And then you get a little bit older and you don't want to go for the low-hanging blue balls, literally.
Yeah.
Literally. So like there's this big part of me that's just like, I don't want to make blue balls jokes.
Yes.
I've been there. It's easy. It's funny. I'm trying to evolve. Yeah. It's right there. They are literally giant blue balls. The Gungans throw their blue balls. I feel so conflicted about it because I don't want to sit here and make blue balls jokes.
No.
But that's what they are.
But again, and that's what I thought Tarples was saying for a long time. And I'm you know, infamous for getting Star Wars quotes wrong in trivia battles. But I don't watch the Battle of Naboo with subtitles on a lot. So I didn't see it, didn't live with that until it was pointed out to me. So there you go. Quite a journey. What is the magic behind the boomers here? What do they add to the legend of Star Wars, Joseph?
I think for me, they're this great, they match Jar Jar and they match the Gungans in this tension, you know, and I know there are Star Wars fans who will never be big on Jar Jar, never be big on the Gungans. But if you dive into what they are, like the Gungan culture itself is like, it's serious. Like Jar Jar's the weird outlier. We can laugh at Boss Nass spitting, but that's clearly like a part of their culture. That's how he makes pronouncements. Jar Jar is the slapstick. Jar Jar is the tragic clown. The rest of the Gungan culture is like, hey, no, look, we're organized. We have a grand army. We have a Gungan defense league. We have mining technology. that gets to the exotic plasma and makes weapons out of it. So I think for me, there's this great contrast where they're silly. They make this weird noise and they are just kind of funny space fantasy blue balls. But then if you kind of go into the story of them, they're this organic spherical weapon that is of the earth, that is of Gungan tradition that nobody else uses because it's theirs. It's their culture. It's their technology. So to me, I'm fascinated by them because a part of me just wants to laugh at them. And a part of me is like, that's actually really great storytelling for who the Gungan people are.
No, you're absolutely right, especially knowing a little bit more of the information that they are a natural part of Naboo. And we talk about, you know, organic versus the mechanical in Star Wars. And here's this organic energy being used to defeat this mechanical army, or at least combat it. Like that's some powerful stuff. And we often say that, you know, because of Jar Jar getting the headlines, good, bad, or otherwise, and we're pro Jar Jar here. You're hiding a lot of, you're not allowing yourself to go deeper into the Gungan culture. I do think it's fascinating. I think they are some of the more fascinating, one of the more fascinating cultures in Star Wars because of this, you know, this energy. And when did they first determine, hey, these could be weapons, you know, we need them and they're part of what we do. And they're us, they're so of us, and we use them to defend us. That is powerful Star Wars storytelling.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it matches, you know, we're talking about the Boomas, but they got the shields, both the individual handheld ones and the big one that's being projected. It all kind of matches. I also love thinking of like is there a whole like Gungan mining culture that we haven't seen that just looks down in the crust? And then imagining Jar Jar getting down there and having some accidents that just murder thousands, right? You do not want Jar Jar down in the exotic plasma mining station.
You do not. That might have been part of the reasons Hisa might have been banished. And I would imagine Gungan miners, if they're going down for something like this, it would be kind of an honored position, you know, a position of prestige and respect.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So going back to 1999 and the plains there, the grass fields there in Naboo where this big battle happens, did you enjoy the presence of Boomas, or as I probably said, Blue Balls and the Phantom Menace then, and we're going to get your thoughts on them now. But let's go back to this, because you mentioned this is some people, might not love Jar Jar, might not ever love Jar Jar. We think there's a lot in the creation of Jar Jar that's important to so much of Star Wars and the technology of film and all that kind of good stuff. And we enjoy the character of Jar Jar. But this is some of the more challenging stuff in terms of bumbling and stumbling his way through the battle with these Boomas. So did you have a reaction to them then because of all that?
Yes. The Boomas were with me on an emotional roller coaster because there are things I immediately liked about Booma and Booma technology. I liked the sound design, right? That was one of the things going into it, you know, growing up with the original trilogy, you knew Ben Burtt's name and you knew like he's the guy who made Chewie talk, who made R2 talk, who made the lightsaber sound that we all make with our mouths. What new sounds is Ben Burtt going to make? And this was one of the ones like, okay, that's cool. That's weird. It's, you know, it totally does sound like a dodgeball in the gym, but weird and spacey. So I love the sound. Yeah. And then I loved the shields, the individual ones. I thought those looked really cool. Yeah. I loved the overall shield and like the image of the battle droids kind of forcing their way through it. You know, in 99, I am resistant to anything that I think is like too silly, and I want things to be like cool and badass. So there are a couple things about the Boomers I thought were cool and badass, and we're cutting back and forth from the amazing lightsaber fight. So there's a part of me like, oh yeah, no, I like those balls. I like those balls. And like, hey, but what happens with those blue balls? Mostly Jar Jar slapstick, which I was very grumpy about. Very grumpy. So I both liked the Boomas and I was grumpy. I was deeply Booma conflicted for many years.
Booma conflicted. It's a great way to look at it. Yeah, because look, you hide behind some of those film criticism words, but I'm not attacking film critics. I think there's some wonderful folks who do it. I'm just saying, like, you can, you know, well, Jar Jar didn't choose. He didn't take the actions to win. He stumbled on it by accident. And you and I will argue that there's some great purpose in the comedy of Jar Jar, especially in the Clone Wars. But again, I saw that and wasn't happy with it. Right. You know, like that's not movie. No. But then when he pulls the cart down and they start falling down the hill. And here I am going, no, this is, I reject this on all levels. But then the one of them hits the tank. And it was so cool that it just immediately in the theater, I'm like, I don't know which way to go. I really like that moment, but I think I'm supposed to hate it. And so that's why the presence of Boomas in the Phantom Menace alone is not a problem for me at all. Once I really pull back and look at them, they're so unique.
They're so unique. And when you in that tension that happens so many times with Star Wars, where I think the truth is you watch Star Wars storytelling and it's silly and it's fun, and it has a great kindness towards characters like Jar Jar, this message of everybody matters. But then there's also those times where you're like, but I want it to be cool. And the Boomas are just so in the middle of that, that the shots where they get launched into the battle droids, right? Like when the big ones hit and the battle droids shake and jitter, like, that's cool. The recent Lego Skywalker Saga, that was my favorite level, is throwing the Boomas, right? Because you feel... I feel really powerful throwing the space dodgeballs.
So glad you mentioned that. I'm bummed I forgot to put that in this rundown, because that's a great thing. Yes, the Skywalker Saga Lego game is very fun, and you know, you can explore. That was my favorite level too, and I think it was for a lot of folks. Only because I think there was a part of me that wanted to live out the fantasy of being in that battle in the Boo and experiencing that and taking them out like bowling balls to bowling pins. It was real fun. And you talk about being Team Booma, that level. I was Team Booma all the way.
Absolutely. I just want to spend hours throwing the big blue balls. Let's be honest. That's the truth.
Do that there. And I know it's kind of in the description here. You can see what these Boomas mean. And mean to the Gungan culture. So I don't want to be disrespectful to the Gungans in there when I ask this question. But after the Battle of Naboo, that is a fight the Gungans are involved with on a global scale, an intergalactic scale, whatever you want to say. Holo News Net probably covered them. Why don't more fighting forces of the galaxy use Boomas? Why didn't they seek them out? Why didn't it become maybe an export business for the Gungans? And is the answer just because, hey, they're ours? But why didn't anyone else try to copy that? And this is a fun headcanon question, Joseph, more than anything.
Yeah, no, I mean, they are, it's, to me, it's either ignorance, like sheer ignorance, like maybe, maybe there were reporters, but they didn't really ask the Gungans the right questions. They're too busy interviewing Padme and doing, you know, Qui-Gon Jinn life retrospective coverage. So maybe there's just kind of some ignorance. Mm-hmm. I Googled on Wikipedia, you know, it pops up in the Clone Wars, the droid poppers, but those are, is that the connection?
Is that
secretly exotic plasma? Like, but no, there's nothing in canon. Those are just EMPs. But it's so fascinating to think about is, you know, 10 years later, we head into the Clone Wars where, you know, plasma that short circuits droids on mass scale would be pretty valuable. A lot of droids fighting in the Clone Wars, right? So it's got to either be ignorance or totally Gungans going, that's ours. No, we're not going to let the Republic strip mine our planet.
Yes.
Like, I can imagine a story where, like, it's an art to mine this. You have to take it at the right time from the right place. You can't take too much at once or it unbalances our organic, you know, natural planet. No. So there's a part of me that's either it's ignorance or Gungans standing up for what's theirs.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I could really get behind that. And you could see maybe another, you know, an army trying to, you know, build their own version of it. And maybe it doesn't go well. But yes, also on just you know, fun practical side. Could you imagine some lats coming in instead of those gun bubbles at the front? It's just two Boomas that they drop. Hendrix plays in the background and some Boomas explode. Ding, 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 ding. Yeah.
Just machine gun firing space Super Bowls. Boop, 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 boop.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah.
I also like the idea that maybe that this could be storytelling yet, because we haven't got a lot of storytelling in canon of what happens to poor Naboo once the Empire is formed. Palpatine is from Naboo. I think once Palpatine gets the Empire, he's got a long, long list of things to take, right? And I wonder if on like number 472, way down on his list, is like, take those blue balls from those Gungans.
Take them. Figure it out. Yeah, no, and I love it. And I love it. Again, it is very much of the Gungan culture and connected to the land and the land that they're on, probably there first. So there's some bigger reasons behind it. But just wondering, you know, if you're looking to copycat your way to success, that'd be something I'd want to try to steal, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, normally in life, I'd say be careful about doing some good old fashioned appropriation there. But if you're trying to win a war, I could look across to your friends and you keep saying, you know, like arrogance or ignorance. I could just kind of maybe looking down on the Gungans and their style of fighting. So I don't know. Bigger question.
Yeah, no, I want the heroes of the galaxy to back off and leave their Boomas alone.
Love it.
Unless
love
they choose
it.
To share. But I like the idea of Palpatine saying, your exotic plasma is now mine.
Maiden. Love it there. But if there was another use for boomers in Star Wars, what would you want it to be? Let's say the war is over. This power, this source, this resource is there, and the Gungans decide, look, we want to do something different. They're not just weapons of defense. They're not just weapons. What else could you imagine the Gungans doing? Or what else, just looking at them and hearing them, what else do you think they could do?
This is what popped into my head is this total what if at the Battle of Endor, right? Things are a little bit rough. Admiral Akbar is leading. And he's like, a Gungan fleet to the front. And the Gungan ship pulls up and just fires massive, massive Booma. The ship is basically a Booma cannon, a Booma the size of a Star Destroyer, starts plowing into Star Destroyers, and they fall from the sky one after the other.
Could you imagine Torn Farr saying, stand by, Booma control, and then just launching... big ion cannon sized Booma ball at a Star Destroyer.
It's a ball. Yeah.
It's our first catch. What is that? I love that there. I would like to see them used as some sort of power source. If you could, if they take away the power of the droid, so to speak, could they be used in the other direction? And could they be sent to the galaxy post Galactic Civil War to help areas affected by the war? And could that be part of what the Gungans decide to use their own resources for? Like, all right, much like we love the therapy Ewok concept introduced in the Aftermath series, and part of the Ewoks going, yeah, we're going to go help because we were helped as well, but we're part of this fight and part of the Aftermath. So I would like that, how to charge your cell phone, just plug it into a Booma.
Plug in your data pad. I love this idea that, you know what, maybe Boomas aren't just for fighting. Maybe they can build too.
Maybe they can build. Misa thinks they can build. Some final questions and thoughts here. Look, if you stumbled onto one of these and you had a Booma in your possession, what would you do with it? Or what would you be tempted to do and have to pull yourself back from?
The first thing I would do is become deeply paranoid about keeping it away from my computer.
Smart.
Right. Just look at how much of our life is technological. Like, I imagine just walking into my relatively small apartment, holding a Booma and just being overcome with fear of like, am I going to drop this on the dishwasher?
Yeah.
On my backup drive. And then I think, honestly, what I would be tempted to do is like go way out into nature, like on a hill where I don't think I'm going to hurt anybody, and just chuck it. Hear that sound echo through hills.
And just to hear what it sounds like when it hits a rock. Just.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
If you had a car that was like, it was done and you kind of needed to get rid of it anyway. Mm-hmm. Chuck a Booma at your car and see what it does.
See what it does. Just it's like taking the Xerox machine out to the field in Office Space. It's just that. For me, I mean, look, us being in LA, I think the big temptation is traffic, because assuming it doesn't kill anyone and it only stops the cars, like it does with the droids. I know it causes more damage to the droids, but if I could just lightly use it. Almost like a droid popper to just clear traffic. I think it'd be hard not to think about doing that, but it wouldn't want to. Don't endorse it.
Oh, yeah.
That,
but just a Prius popper.
Prius popper. Carry it in the glove compartment of your car. Just telling yourself, one of these days I'm going to do it.
Is hold it out the window. Like, I mean it.
Absolutely. But yeah, you're right. I would not where do you store that? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Dangerous. Well, we have come to the end of our discussion here on Boomas. Any final Booma thoughts, Joseph?
Oh, yeah. I think they are so awesome in their look, in their sound, in their meaning. The fact that they are, badass and silly at the same time is just beautiful to me. And I'd love to see an art installation of Boomas of all sizes. Think I would love to see, like, in an actual, like, fine art museum, a display of Boomas. And people who know Star Wars would be like, cool, Boomas. Yeah. Other people would be like, what an elegant display of electric looking balls.
And what would you do? What would you do if with a set of realistic to scale Boomas, various sizes and all, made by HasLab, would you support that one?
I would absolutely support it, and then I would rent a separate storage unit just for my Boomas so they don't destroy anything else I own.
There you go. And then maybe make that art display. We're going to rate the wild and weird factor of Boomas. Our rating, as always, is based on one of the original Star Wars weirdos, Lobot. We love Lobot here. So, Joseph, out of 10 Lobot heads, one being the least, 10 being the most, how many Lobot heads do you give Boomas?
I'm giving Boomas 8 Lobot heads. I think they're pretty weird. On one hand, they make perfect sense. They're plasma balls. Oh, plasma weapons. Cool. noise they make, too weird. And now I am thinking about Lobot having to avoid them hitting his head unit.
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, no. Get those away from me, Lando. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, that's interesting.
So I'm going a full 8.
Full 8. Okay, here's the thing. I was going to probably start out at the beginning of this episode, I would have thought I was going to rank it lower, like a 6, because of what you're saying. It's a wild, weird weapon in Star Wars, but it's something we could imagine. It makes some sense the way it's used. You get it. But then you get more of the story, and you get more of this organic resource mined and used specifically by this culture to defend themselves. That's wonderfully unique and weird to me. And I'm going to bump it up to an 8 as well. 8 out of 10 Lobots for me and Joseph on the Boomas here today.
A lot of Boomas out there. Watch your head, Lobot.
As we sign on out of here, we're going to let you know where you can find us. You can find me at, first, I want you to find the podcast. Sorry. We are pretty simple to find. All of our links are on Twitter. If you go to @ForceCenterPod, you'll see link trees, you'll see episodes, you see where to support us. It's all there. You can follow me at @KatNapsok or go to my website, katnapsok.com. Joseph, where can they find you?
Yeah, you can find me on all the social media. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok is @JosephScrimshaw, and on my website, josephscrimshaw.com.
There you go. That's it for Data Bang Dive. Boomers, we love you. We'll see you next time here on Force Center.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us.
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.